Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is hour number three, the final hour of this show before we get you into the weekend. And that means on Fridays, what we do is we go over the NFL schedule for Sunday. But we do it a little different way. If this is your first time listening to this, we go over each game and kind of give you an idea of what the game is, if it's worth your time or not. Is there any value to it? Like, what's on the line? Maybe there's nothing. Maybe it's an intriguing matchup. Maybe there's little nuggets of information. That's what we do. We don't really give predictions because everybody does that. But if you have an opportunity to do something else or catch another game somewhere else and it's the only game on in your area, you might want to listen to this. Maybe you're lucky to get a certain game. Maybe you're unlucky to get certain others. I think we've all been in that boat and all been in that category. Last night, Dallas with a 27-17 victory over the Saints. They go to 8-4. And now controlling a little bit more of the division. People were a little nervous that Washington was going to come up, bite them if they lose. But for the Saints, 5-7. Not done yet, because if the Lions aren't technically mathematically eliminated, neither are the Saints at 5-7. But it does look like without Jameis Winston, the team doesn't really have an offensive identity. Taysom Hill tried, had hurt fingers, went out there and did his best. I was impressed with the fact that he ran the ball like he did with the foot injury. I talked about pain management. He must have done a very good job of that, because he had 101 yards on the ground on 11 carries. But New Orleans has lost 5 in a row now, started 5-2, looked really promising, looked like a really, really good team that could really make a chase to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but instead they are falling downward on a down spiral in their own division. But the Cowboys, I think it was more important, because the Cowboys, you know, had lost to the Raiders on Thanksgiving Day, lost to the Chiefs, had a 2-game slide, needed to sort of right the ship a bit. Had a bunch of coaches out because of COVID, did get Amari Cooper back, but it was CeeDee Lamb last night that I think was the star, 122 total yards of offense. And overall, Dallas righted the ship temporarily. They've still got some divisional games in the NFC East, which are tough. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much better you are on paper. Those divisional games in the NFC East are really, really hard. They've got 2 games coming up against Washington. They got another one against the Giants. But this gives them a little bit of room, so that Washington team that may be red hot won't cause them to sort of panic about winning that division. All right, early games in the NFL. We'll get right to it when we get back. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, before we get to the run of games in the NFL on Sunday and give you our likes and dislikes, I want to tell you about Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. Let's say you've got a seized engine or stuck ball joints or frozen emergency brake cables or rusted nuts and bolts or universal rusted bolts, and you need Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. Why? Because it delivers 3 times more lubricant, so it takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. It's also body shop safe, so it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and silicone free. Deep penetrating oil is available at the shelves of AutoZone, O'Reilly, and Napa Auto Parts Store. Give it a try. Again, Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. All right, let's get rocking and rolling with the NFL schedule coming up this weekend. Had to miss it last week because I took off for Thanksgiving, but we're going into week number 13. And here we go. Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady on the road to face the Atlanta Falcons at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Brady, 30 touchdown passes on the season at 8-3, Atlanta 5-6. The Buccaneers are going for the season sweep of the Falcons for the second straight year. They've never done that before. Tom Brady is in his second year at Tampa Bay. Coincidence? You tell me. I think not. This is okay. I don't think Atlanta has a team that can really hang with Tampa when it's on. But, yeah, it's a home game, I guess. It's a 2.5. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just don't buy Atlanta. So
I mean, I think we wanted to see earlier this week with the Michigan high school basketball team
FaceTiming
Tom Brady and gang. That's all they need. That's right.
You know, but here's a more important question, though. In this game, what's the over-under for Antonio Brown mentions?
Right, because he's been suspended two games, right?
For the three.
Three games for the
three
phony COVID
for faking
nonsense.
Everyone out.
That's right. Remember, we said it at the time. It's not that you thought Antonio Brown couldn't add to your team. It's that you knew something like this was bound to happen at some point. Where he was just going to be a distraction on some level. He can't help himself.
And what's so funny about it is that this wasn't surprising that it was him.
Yeah,
if
right.
If we had heard this about anybody else, we would have been like, oh, my God, really? I never would have thought that.
Completely.
Coming from Antonio Brown being suspended for, you know, fake COVID vaccine, you're like, yeah. Tell me something we don't know.
So this is not one of the higher-end games on the Fox schedule for the early afternoon.
No, not at all.
But
Does Matt Ryan even play?
Right, is closing out a stellar career in Atlanta.
I think there's going to be a better game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium this weekend than this one.
I agree. How about the Cardinals at the Bears? Arizona 9-2, 6-0 on the road, meaning their two losses have came at home.
Yeah.
The Bears, they won against the Lions on Thanksgiving Day, which feels like 100 years ago. So how about Justin Fields? Is he what's his status? For the game. Are we just trying to practice and stuff? Is there a game plan for him?
I don't know.
I don't think so. The Bears, that win against the Lions, which came in the final seconds, snapped a 5-game losing skid for the Bears, who are 4-7 on the year. No, not something to write home about on this one either. We've been liking Arizona all season as they've been winning games. I wouldn't say all season. It took a while for us to sort of grow on the Arizona train, but it's worth jumping on. What about Kyler Murray? He's questionable for this game. Do you think he plays too?
That's another one. I don't know if he does. I mean, is there a reason for him to?
Mm. Well, you know, you're trying to keep pace with the Packers, and anybody can beat you.
Yeah, so. I mean, you definitely don't want to go to Lambeau in the wintertime to play national.
They already own the tiebreaker, so be careful.
But, I mean, you don't want to run that risk. But at the same time, if Kyler Murray isn't healthy for you in the playoffs, Colt McCoy is not leading you to the Super Bowl.
This is an interesting game. How about Cincinnati, who's back on the horse, against the Chargers, who need to kind of get back on it?
Yeah. Yeah.
This has got some interesting matchup here.
No, this one should be all the fun and have all the bells and whistles that you're hoping for in a game. I'm a little nervous by it.
I know.
Because just as the Bengals start to right their ship. I mean, I'm hoping for this scenario, right? Because the Bengals seem to fall off the ship just as they get it afloat again. So, yeah, I'm hoping it's that situation for us.
They beat the Ravens, lose to the Jets and Browns, and then beat the Raiders, and then beat the Steelers and putting up 41 points and playing with these.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, again, I mean... The Chargers are just in an interesting position because the Broncos and the Raiders and them are all 6-5, one game behind Kansas City. This is turning into a fun AFC West.
This is, and right now they hold the 7th seed.
Right.
And it's like, you know, they're on the cusp of just missing the playoffs or just making the playoffs. So, come on. Go Chargers, go.
Yeah, and Cincinnati.
As a great governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, once said.
And Cincinnati is 7-4 and a game behind Baltimore in the AFC North, to my heart's content.
Yeah.
How about Minnesota and Detroit?
Detroit, please. Keep the dream alive.
Keeping the dream alive, please. Please, please. Detroit, find a way to win this game.
They got to, right?
Just find a way. I don't care what you got to do. Maybe even cheat. I don't care. I just want this. I don't want this team to be winless. I know they won't go undefeated, but I don't want them winless either.
Right.
Oh, my God. We've done 12 weeks of football, including a bye week where I was nervous they were going to lose that game. Like, the Lions, come on, man. Help us out.
Yes.
Dan Campbell,
You got to win. If you don't win this game, your playoff hopes are gone.
They're only averaging 15 points per game. 15 points per game. Golly.
Well, and the Vikings are still a team I know nothing about.
Yeah, they're weird. Dalvin Cook's got a hurt shoulder, right? They win, they lose. They win, they lose. It's just a back and forth. Like, they're like the epitome of a 500 team.
They'll lose against teams they're not supposed to lose to, and then they're beating teams that they shouldn't have no business playing. I mean, they beat the Chargers.
I know. I swear that they're like, it's like vanilla ice cream. It's not terrible. It's not great. It may not be, it may not be chocolate chip, but it'll do. Yeah, and I mean, that's like the Vikings.
I mean, check this out. All right, they lose to the Cowboys, lose to the Ravens. Then they go on. They go ahead and beat the Chargers on the road, and then they beat the Packers at home.
Right.
And it's like this team just. It's almost like you want to say, Minnesota, you're drunk. Go home. Because you don't know what you're doing.
Right, exactly. Ay, ay, ay. All right, how about the Indianapolis Colts on the road against Houston? Before you tell me, oh, this is a piece of cake, the Tennessee Titans thought that this would be a piece of cake, too.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Titans are going to regret losing to the Houston Texans.
But here's my thing, okay?
Yeah.
Tennessee was without their running back.
And right.
I think that finally caught up with them.
I agree.
The Colts, brain dead last week and decided not to use arguably the front runner from the MVP.
Jonathan Taylor's leading the league in rushing.
Yeah.
He's got 1,200 yards and 14 touchdowns. You're right. He's an MVP candidate.
I'm thinking the Colts. Maybe, you know, listen to all the criticism from last week. Maybe use your guy this week.
I think you're right.
That might help you out.
By the way, the Colts trail by 2 games against the Titans in the division, but the Titans have the weekend off. They're 8-4. The Titans, Colts are sitting at 6-6. Give it up. Seriously, give it up to the Colts because they started 0-3. They were 1-4. They have won 5 of their last 7. And their two losses came in a close game to the Titans and a close loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Both of those were winnable games.
And they shouldn't have lost to the Buccaneers.
So say what you want about, you know, the Colts and Carson Wentz and whatnot. They have really turned their season around. They are now a legit playoff team. And they did it. What is the thing we said in this offseason why Carson Wentz was going to like playing in Indianapolis? Their ability to run the football, right? So you don't have to go out there and sling it all the time. And it's starting to show and starting to pay some dividends. So the Colts are starting to play some good football. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up the rest of the afternoon games and get you into the later games as we continue its wake-up call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, need gift ideas? The Holiday Gift Guide has something for everyone on your list at prices under $15, like a pair of mechanics wear black-coated winter gloves, a power torque two-piece magnetic tool holder bar, a slime digital tire gauge, and much more. Check out the Holiday Gift Guide for great ideas at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, we are continuing along in our look at the NFL schedule as we continue along. The Giants will be taking on the Miami Dolphins coming up on Sunday. A rare trip down to Miami to face the Dolphins once they do every 8 years. Nevertheless, Giants are playing a Dolphins team that I don't know if you know this, Ron. The Dolphins have turned their season around.
I have noticed.
They have won 4 in a row. They started the season 1-7. They are now 5-7. And they are rolling along with Tua Tagovailoa. Come on now. They're 3-3 at home. But the Giants, coming off winning against Philadelphia, 4-7. But only 1-4 on the road. And Daniel Jones, here's where journalism is important, kids. The headline of Daniel Jones is going to play despite a neck injury is not the same sentence as Daniel Jones is expected to play with a mild neck strain. Choose your words carefully. Because when I initially saw this story, it said Daniel Jones had a neck injury. I'm like, there's no reason to be anywhere near a NFL football game if you have a neck injury. Neck strain, that's not a bad thing. You can overcome a neck strain. But neck injury, I thought it was just hanging by a thread. Like his head was just hanging on barely. And he's still going to go out there and try to throw a football. Tua's playing a little better. Dolphins have been playing better. They are 5-7 on the season. Who knows? I shouldn't get overly excited about a 5-7 team making the playoffs when I'm not excited about my own 5-5-1 team making the playoffs.
Yeah, it's that extra puts a little something extra on that.
Right. Exactly. All right. So what do we make of this one? All right. Or are we looking at the Dolphins going, all right, let's see what you got. Because they'd be 6-7 if they win.
I'm taking a step for. Are we still looking at Tua and saying, what do you got?
Kind of still.
So maybe this is the game where, you know, we're really going to look at Tua and go, all right, Tua, it's the Giants.
Yeah.
What do you got?
He reportedly has been playing better. I haven't really been studying Dolphins football lately, but he's been playing pretty good. But I don't know. The Giants are a team that you're not blown away. Like, you're not surprised if they win a game, but then you kind of expect them to lose. But you're not surprised when they pull off a win or two. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they went down to Miami and beat the Dolphins. So, nevertheless. All right, let's get to the next game on the schedule, and that is Philadelphia taking on the Jets. Okay, it didn't seem that long ago when the Eagles looked like a team that could make the playoffs, and then one loss to New York, and that's derailed that. Like, they were a team that was like, all right, they won three of their last four. They just beat the Saints. They went on the road and beat the Broncos. You know what? This team's pretty good. They're 5-6. Don't look now. Here come the Eagles. Well, then they lose to the Giants, and it's like, yep, bye-bye. Go back to the basement where you belong. I don't know if I'm... A win here, a couple of wins against Washington and the Giants. All of a sudden, the Eagles could put themselves in an interesting position.
It's weird.
It's weird
because, I mean, yeah, I feel like this Eagles team does this a lot where it's like they get your hopes up and then they don't deliver.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And they did this the last couple of seasons.
Yep. Yeah, and Jalen Hurts, you know, he'll be all right. He's got an ankle sprain, but he should be good to go.
Yeah, even with like a half of Jalen Hurts, I think this is a winnable game for the Jets.
Yeah.
They don't have it all together just yet.
Not quite there. How about this little interesting nugget for the afternoon? How about Washington against Las Vegas? All right, the football team is red hot. They've won three in a row. And they're doing it without Chase Young.
And Henneke we trust?
And Henneke we trust. And Henneke's still playing that nobody's given me a chance.
I have to
prove myself every single week around here. My God, they just don't hand you NFL starting quarterback jobs for no reason.
What was it? It was Sunday night? When did they play last?
Monday,
that was what it was. And it was late in the game, and they're still saying, but you know what? He just doesn't throw that hard.
Yeah, right.
He's winning games, guys.
They can't give him any sort of credit. Remember, this is the kid that almost beat Tom Brady in the playoffs. He gave the Buccaneers a big run for their money last season in the playoffs. But no, he can't buy love right now. How about Las Vegas though? They won their game against Dallas in overtime. They've corrected a little bit. They were kind of on a downward slide, 6-5, tied with Denver, tied with the Chargers, second place in the AFC West. Let the wild run in December continue. They are going to be home in Sin City for this one. This is actually pretty good. This is a pretty good game. It's like a B-plus on the Fox schedule.
Yeah.
I kind of like this. I'm not huge on Washington because the teams they played, I mean, they've beaten the Buccaneers, but then Seattle's no good. I mean, let's not pretend it's the awesomeness of Seattle who they beat on Monday night. So we'll see. But nevertheless, these two teams trending in the right direction.
Yeah, it should be. I think it'll be entertaining.
I think it'll be entertaining. How about Jacksonville and the Rams? All right, I'm just kidding. If the Rams can't snap a three-game losing skid against this football team,
cancel them. No
business being anywhere near my playoff screen.
No, cancel
Go away. Them. If you lose to Jacksonville, I don't want to hear from you again.
Unless Rams. It finally happens and Trevor Lawrence has that game we're kind of been waiting for all season long. I don't think it's going to happen in this one.
Good point.
But, you know, we're, what, 12 weeks, 13 weeks in? What, it's week 13, and we still haven't had that Trevor Lawrence game that determines, that shows why he was the number one pick overall.
Right, exactly. Give me one of those, please, by the end of the season.
And if you do it against the Rams and that defense, fantastic.
Yeah, if you can.
We'll be talking about you all day Monday.
Yep, right. We talked about the Rams, and one of the things about them is they're getting out-physical, right? But I don't think Jacksonville is going to out-physical the Rams in this game. So this should be a win for Los Angeles. And if not, don't come near me in January. I don't want to see your face. How about Baltimore and Pittsburgh? The Steelers stink. And I was feeling so good about them after that game against the Chargers, where they had so many players out and they took a lead in the game. They were trailing by a lot. And I was like, oh, what a fight. Ben Roethlisberger didn't throw a pick. What a fight in that fourth quarter. But then they cough up 41 points to the Bengals in a contest that had not even competitive. T.J. Watt is out with COVID. The Ravens just are going to put their foot on the neck of the Steelers and go, done, stay down. I think that's what's going to happen here. But Pittsburgh fights against these Ravens year in and year out, even when they're down and they got some problems, even when they had Duck Hodges. And they've given the Ravens some fits over the years. Remember last year, this game reminds me of last year. They should have played on Thanksgiving, but Baltimore had COVID. Wah, wah, wah. And they had it rescheduled the following Wednesday. When they should have just suited up anybody they could and played a football game. Derailed the Steelers season from that point on. But 5-5-1, no good. Ravens are 8-3.
This is a game, you know what this has written all over it? Throw the record book out.
Right, of course.
That's
absolutely.
I mean, if there's ever a game where we talk about throw the record book out, this is it. This is one of those type of games where it just doesn't matter. Yeah, like you said, Steelers, I mean, they're not having the best of seasons. But you can find a way. You can look at this and go, Steelers, you won the game. Not surprising.
The Steelers always beat Cincinnati, so you can almost see a little complacency there. They don't always beat the Ravens. It's always hard fought. I expect the Steelers to show up. Ravens are coming off a really sloppy game, 4 interceptions by Lamar Jackson last week. So maybe there might be something there for the Steelers to sort of get back in the conversation. But right now, they're really on the outside of it. San Francisco and Seattle, these two teams going in complete opposite directions right now. San Francisco, we just talked about the Dolphins turning their season around. The Niners have turned their season
around. My God.
Woo! They started the season 2-4. 2-4. And now they are 6-5. They have won their last three games, and they are doing it with strength. They are really starting to play some good football right now. They have won 4 of their last 5. They, again, started the season 2-4. They started with back-to-back victories and then lost 4 straight, and it looked like they were cooked. But then they found a way to win some games, and they beat the Rams. Yes, they beat Jacksonville. Yes, they beat Minnesota. But they should beat this Seahawks team who's
but
just
again, I mean,
mess.
Like we said earlier in the segment, or last segment, Minnesota, it's a team we just don't understand.
We don't know. We do not understand them quite yet. Do not get it. Do not get it.
So, I mean, Niners could have had a great win against a good team or just a win against we don't know.
The Seahawks have lost 6 of 7.
Can we say that they're cooked?
Yeah. Holy mackerel. Well, I mean, what's going on? 6 of 7
they're
for
done.
The Seahawks.
Last week we said it, Tuesday after that Monday Nighter. It was clear to us that there's something wrong with Russell Wilson.
Something's wrong. He can push it off all he want, not make excuses. I get it. Yeah. But something is wrong.
I don't know
him.
If it's the finger or if it's a shoulder issue or if it's something not going right in his head. I don't know what it is.
But nevertheless, there's conversation about Pete Carroll stepping away. I hate when. Can I just make this clear? If you don't have anything to back that up, don't just assume coaches will quit because the going got tough. They get paid a boatload of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That is not a job you just walk away from because, wow, we lost a few games. You still get a gigantic paycheck. And until they fire you, keep getting those paychecks.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, we only brought it up because we thought he'd be a good fit at Notre Dame.
I thought he would leave for Notre Dame. We were wrong. They hired Marcus Freeman. He was never even in the conversation.
Yeah.
All right. But nevertheless, people saying the same thing about Sean Payton. Sean Payton's going to leave. Why? Because they stink?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, having a down year?
Because you're having a down year? Like it happens.
Why do we say that about the Bill Belichick and the Patriots last year?
Right, exactly.
Bill Belichick's going to retire. No Tom Brady, he can't win.
Now, don't get me wrong. If you've got some if you've got some info, all right, share it. All right, the big game, Monday night, Patriots and Bills. Oh, settle in and watch this one. Yeehaw.
Yeah.
How fun is this?
They're
we got Denver and Kansas City, too. I forgot about Denver and Kansas City.
Yeah, but nobody cares about them.
Oh, real quick, Kansas City has won 11 straight against Denver. That is pretty rare for an inter-conference rivalry.
That is.
11 in a row. The last quarterback to beat the Chiefs for Denver was Peyton Manning in 2015, the year they won the Super Bowl.
Well, I hear they're bringing him back Sunday.
They might as well, right? Might as well. Kansas City only leading that division by one game. If the Broncos should win this game, they'd be tied with Kansas City. So
yeah,
that's going to be
a pretty good game Sunday night. The main course is Monday night.
Monday night. Patriots and Bills, settle in and enjoy that one.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're going on Jason Cole joining us. NFL analyst will go through some of the issues around the league as we head into the weekend. Just saw a quick video of the announcement of Marcus Freeman being the head coach of Notre Dame that was delivered to the players, and they are just ecstatic. Real players coach. I'm really glad for him. I'm glad. This was as I said earlier in this show, this was a hire that I had to sort of warm up to because I wasn't as familiar with Notre Dame in terms of the how good their defensive coordinator was as a candidate. But it really is starting to open up a lot that he is going to be just really well received by the Notre Dame faithful. Again, still working on Jason Cole as we go through the league. And Ron and I were just going through the schedule of games coming up this weekend. And you know, we're talking about this Dallas game, for example. And this goes for any game that's going on this weekend, just to kind of show you. There was a couple of things in the show that all kind of come together. One is the fun, almost absurdity, that the Lions at 0-10-1 haven't been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. And, oh, yeah, they're not going to make it, but it just goes to show you that, you know, hey, look, there's still a lot of football to be played. I get there is a sense of urgency sometimes. You know, when you're hovering at a certain point and you haven't righted the ship, or it doesn't look like you've righted the ship, and you get to a point as a fan, you feel like, I don't know if we're going to make it. For me, as a Steeler fan, I do not root for the Steelers to lose all of their games to get a top draft pick. I just don't. The Steelers just don't do that. They have bad seasons, but they don't have the 1-15 year. Well, now would be 1-16. But they don't have the 2-win season. They have a mediocre season that might put them at 11th or 15th or something like that, but they never blow up and are in the top five. So because of that, I always root for them to go to the playoffs. And I think even if they I don't care who they're facing in the first round. I don't care if it's just too big of a task or they don't have the horses and they never are going to be in the game. I don't care. I want to see a team in the postseason. I think many of you are like that. Many of you, you know, the draft is a great thing. Don't get me wrong. And it's fun and you can find your future quarterback or whatever. But if you're not 0-10-1 at this point, and you are 5-5-1, then you root for the turnaround. You hope for the turnaround. And I think it, like last night in Dallas's case, as we've been saying all morning, no, it was it a must win? Of course it wasn't. It's December 3rd right now, right? It was December 2nd last night. We're no way we're near a must win situation. But to sort of calm sort of the football anxiety that can happen with fans who are like, wait, if we lose, that's 3 in a row, and Washington wins, and all of a sudden, like, that's what that game did. It gives you a little bit of room, right? It gives you some wiggle room. I mean, look at the Bengals. Well, the Bengals are a perfect example of this. The Bengals went from a scary football team to all right, we really shouldn't have believed them in the first place, to they're a scary football team again, right? That's how kind of quick they can go. Right? It really is remarkable that you can change your fortunes that way. And so even when you're a Bears team at 4-7, you're not done yet. It may feel like you're done, but you're not. If you're Atlanta at 5-6, you're not done. If you are, you know, the Dolphins at 5-7, you're not done. We just don't know how this is all going to turn around. And I think that's what makes this sort of interesting in the last couple of weeks. The extra playoff team, the extra game. And I think that's kind of, you know, let's be honest, it makes this interesting. I may not have liked the idea of an extra playoff game and an extra week. I kind of was on the, what kind of football are we going to get? But you know what?
Well, we're kind of used to that 8-8.
Yeah, we're kind of used to that 8-8. We could not track Jason Cole yet, but we do have how the Lions can make the playoffs. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'll just read week 13.
You need this week, this right, weekend, in order for it to happen.
So the Lions need to beat the Vikings, obviously. Now the Lions need to beat everybody. So let's just put that caveat out there.
But
they've already got part one of the equation set. Yes. The Cowboys beat the Saints, right? They need the Dolphins to beat the Giants. That's possible.
Yeah, that's not outlandish.
Buccaneers should beat the Falcons. That's expected.
Yep.
The Jets to beat the Eagles, that's iffy. The Cardinals to beat the Bears, completely acceptable.
Done deal.
Raiders beating Washington, again, road game for Washington. Raiders are playing pretty good. But then they need the Seahawks to beat the 49ers. And I just don't know if that's going to happen.
And see, what's incredible is that if any one of these things doesn't happen, they're toast.
Yeah.
They'll be eliminated.
I need a gambling person to tell me, if I were to make a parlay bet on all of these things. So the list of week 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 with a $10 bet, what can I expect Vegas to pay me if all of this pays out? $2.8 billion? Yeah. What are the chances?
Oh my goodness. You'd have a better chance of picking the March Madness pool.
Oh, I know. That's a good one. It will be easier for somebody to pick a perfect bracket than for all of these outcomes to come out.
Yeah. I mean, what's amazing to me is that they actually figured this out, too.
How did they do that? I hope they didn't do it by just some computer thing where the computer spit this out. I hope there was real labor involved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, I'll be fine. You know, we've all done it where we've gone online to the playoff predictor. And usually you do it just to see, like, okay, if my team does this each week, you know, aside, you know, maybe they can lose the game. Like, the Chargers, I don't think they're going to win the rest of their games. I don't think it's possible for them to do that. I'm hopeful.
Right.
But I will, you know, go into the playoff predictor, the little website that formulates everything for you and does the calculations where I say, okay, if the Chargers lost this week, you know, I need these teams to lose, right, in order to get in? Or what if they just lost, but everyone else still won their games? That's in, you know, how can I? And, you know, I'm hoping that someone did that with the Lions.
Yeah. You know what I want to know is, all right, your next step, whoever put this together, is to give me the final standings of what the NFC would look like with all of these, where you could fill in the blanks with the teams that aren't involved in this.
Like, right?
Outside of the games on the list.
I saw that somewhere. I'm going to see if I can track it down. I did see that.
So, Arizona's on here a few times where Arizona needs to be a team that is going to be a pain for the Lions, right? But if they're not on the list, give them a win, give them a loss, it won't matter, right? You can do that, but what in the world would the NFC look like if a 5-10-1 team got into the playoffs? This is great. Hey, listen, kudos whoever put this together. This is the one thing I love this time of year. I love it. You did it. Amy Trask tweeting out, so you're telling me there's a chance. Good for her. That's a great line from the movie. Yeah, good for the Lions putting this thing together. Oh, my God. Like, I'm looking at it, and I can't not look at it. Like, my goal is to continue hosting the show, but I want to pause and just absorb all of these games that have to occur. Now, you may be out there saying what a waste of time this is, and you're not wrong. You're not wrong, but it's still fun to look at. Man, good job, somebody who did this.
That's really great. I mean, it's a labor. I'm going to call it a labor of love.
Yeah, great. I've done this. I mean, I've done this with the Steelers my whole life in certain years where I'm like, my God, they need all these things to happen. So I remember when I was a kid, I'll tell you this real quick story. When I was a kid, I needed the Steelers. It was like the Steelers weren't very good in the 80s. I just want to make this very clear. It was very tough. When you were a kid in the late 70s, like me, and you adopted the Steelers as your favorite football team because they were going to the Super Bowl, and they won Super Bowl 14. Well, after that, Bradshaw left. You know, he retired. Cliff Stout was the quarterback. And except for, like, an AFC championship run that they had with Mark Malone and a couple of playoff appearances, for the most part, the Steelers weren't that good in the 1980s. And I remember when I was a kid, I remember I needed the Steelers to win a whole bunch of games. Like, they needed a whole bunch of games to go their way to make the playoffs. And I remember I was in church, and I prayed that the teams would win. And I remember my father saying, God doesn't care who wins football games. But then all of them came to fruition. And I was like, I guess he does. That's how much. I was so thankful. It was like five things that had to happen for the Steelers to get in. And they had to win, and they needed a bunch of other things to happen. And they did. They lost to, like, the Chargers, I think, in the playoffs. It was like early 80s. But then in 1989, they needed a bunch of things to happen, and I was at a game that was part of the Steelers' run to the postseason. The Giants were playing the Los Angeles Raiders at Giants Stadium in Christmas Eve 1989. And I needed the Giants to win that game, and they did. And then a Monday night game, I think the Bengals had to beat the Browns or something, one of those situations, and that occurred. The Steelers made the playoffs. They beat the Oilers and barely lost to the Broncos in that playoff run. But, again, same thing. Like, need like five things to occur, and all of them came to fruition. But the cool thing about, by the way, that game I was at in 1989, coldest game I've ever been to in my entire life. Went with my father, my Uncle Pete, my cousin Brian, my brother, my Uncle David was there with his kids, and we were frozen. I mean, I know you're from Southern California, Ron, but there is cold where it's like Christmas cold, where you're like, I'm going to have hot chocolate and get a jacket and just go sledding. And then there's cold where you're like, I'm going to die. And they're going to find my frozen body right here. That was the kind of cold that was at Giants Stadium that day, where you weren't 100% sure you were going to make it out alive. Like, maybe, just maybe, I will be stuck to this seat. It was freezing. But nevertheless, the Steelers needed them. I mean, Los Angeles, seriously. Los Angeles went out there and was like, enough of this. We're not, no chance. Can we just finish this? And the Giants won the game.
All right, so. I found a tweet.
Okay.
That it's kind of funny. A guy decided to have fun with the playoff predictor and goes, what's the most ridiculous thing about this still possible NFL scenario, right? This was done 16 hours ago. Lions make the playoffs. Browns number one seed AFC. 9 NFC teams at bottom at 6-11. All nine of those missing. Out of the playoffs.
Oh my gosh.
Or 9 AFC teams tie for one seed at 10-7, but two missed the playoffs, New England and Baltimore.
That's crazy. That is nuts. They give you this, man. They give you this. The NFL has done a great job of, you know, they're giving you a little bit of hope.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, for the Lions, it's silly, but they're like I was saying, the Dolphins at 5-7. There's no reason to give up on the season right now.
Like, this one did it. This guy did it. This looks realistic, right? The AFC, he has there's the seeding, right? I'll just go real quick. Chiefs, Bills, Titans, Ravens. Those are your top four. Bengals, Raiders, and somehow the Jets.
Yeah,
at the seventh seed, right? And the NFC, we could see this happening. Cowboys as the one. Cardinals, Packers, Buccaneers. That's your top four. Rams, Niners 5-6, Lions number 7 at 6-10-1.
6-10-1.
Yeah. You know, your 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 teams, they're all 6-11 missing out on the playoffs.
Remember how freaked out we were when a 7-9 team used to make the playoffs, like Washington, Seattle? Like, so, can you imagine a 6-10-1 team being a playoff team?
And obviously, I mean, you know, in order for any of this stuff to happen, anarchy has to.
It's
awful.
It's still amusing. It still tickles the funny bone.
It's so funny.
Oh goodness.
Now we have hope, though. I'm going to hold out hope that at least through week, I'm going to call it week one of the Lions playoff scenario, makes it.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll be great.
That is great.
Right? I mean, there's two games where we're kind of on the fence about. Seahawks beating the Niners is probably the biggest one. That could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right, we come back. We'll wrap up with this hour and get you set for the weekend in Denton Day on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Denton Day is coming up next as we set you in for the weekend. Gosh, I can't wait. I got to get some exercise in this weekend. I really do. Like, I can't sit and watch football from like 11 o'clock to like 10:30 at night. I'm going to have to get up and walk around the neighborhood every now and then. Goodness. I mean, I'm really looking forward to Saturday's Alabama-Georgia game. But you know what? I don't have my hopes up for a close SEC clash.
I mean, it feels like, okay, I mean, I've said it before. I mean, it feels like this is the national championship game.
Right.
It almost feels like it's the only game of the weekend. Like, we'll have Saturday, and we're going to have this great game.
Well,
then Sunday's going to happen. We're going to be like, meh.
I'm surprised you're saying that, Mr. Houston, Texas. Houston is playing Cincinnati in the AAC title game. Isn't the city...
Oh yeah,
isn't
yeah.
the city gone berserk but again, for Houston's chances of spoiling the Bearcat party?
Again, you assume that I care.
That's true. You're not an alumni.
I'm not a Cougar.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you know, and I don't go chasing Cougars either.
Good point.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, the city is in fever pitch over Houston taking on Cincinnati and Cincinnati.
No, they seriously have a chance to really like that. That's a good upset. Like if they upset the Bearcats, that's a great win.
It is. And one of the things I saw was that because if they're able to upset the Bearcats, you know, almost guarantees Houston a New York Six Bowl in a warm weather place.
Yeah, that's right.
If not, it looks like they're going to be heading to Fenway Park. Something else on the line for Houston.
Right. Goodness gracious.
I don't think you can take a Houstonian and put him in Boston in the wintertime.
Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday to kind of wrap up everything. But we're going to have such a busy show Monday with what we normally do with the NFL and then the committee rankings and
we might
have
to take time from Denton.
We might. Yeah,
I'll just let
Denton,
him know.
Be careful. We might just have to sabotage, you know, your hour. But nevertheless, Denton Day is coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. Tony D, Ron Culver, it's Wake Up Call.